Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, which is brought to you every Friday night here on KCRW. And it's time for our election special. Pretty depressing stuff, this election, but we'll do our best. And helping us do our best will be Will Durst, a very funny topical comedian, I think he prefers to be called, from the Bay Area, who's been doing a lot of stuff lately, including a new comedy album called Strange Bedfellows, Comedy and Politics, just out on the Blue Rose label. We'll be hearing most of his set on that record and talking to him on the telephone. But first of all, to sort of take our minds off of those two bozos battling for the presidency with seltzer bottles, we will have the comedy of Monty Python with their election night special, which is sort of a takeoff on the election night coverage that they do on television over there, and I hope it's a little less silly over here, but it probably won't be if past experience is any guide. Anyhow, here's Monty Python.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Election Night Special. There's tremendous excitement here at the moment as we should be getting the first results through any moment now. We're not quite sure where they'll be from. It might be from Leicester or from West Byfleet. The polling's been quite heavy in both areas. Oh, and I'm just getting a buzzing noise in my left ear. And now let's go straight over to Leicester.
And it's a straight fight here at Leicester, and we're expecting the result any moment now. There with the returning officer is Arthur Smith, the sensible candidate, and next to him is Jethro Q. Walrus Titty, the silly candidate with his agent and his silly wife.
Here is the result for Leicester. Arthur J. Smith.
Sensible party.
30,612. Jethro Q. Bunwacket Buzzard Stubble and Boot Walrus Titty.
Silly party.
33,108.
Well, there you have it, the first result of the election there, and the silly party have held Leicester Norman.
Well, pretty much as I predicted, except that the silly party won. I think this is largely due to the number of votes cast,
quite,
Gerald.
Quite. Well, there's a big swing here to the silly party, but how big a swing, I'm not going to tell you.
I think one should point out here that in this constituency, since the last election, a lot of very silly people have moved into new housing estates, with the result that a lot of sensible voters have moved further down the road, the other side of number 29.
Well, I can't add anything to that, Colin.
Can I just say this is the first time I've been on television?
No, I'm sorry, there isn't time. We're just going straight over to Luton.
Well, here at Luton, it's a three-cornered contest between, from left to right, Alan Jones, sensible party, Tarquin Fintim Limbim, Limbim Bim Bim Bim, Bus Stop for Tang Ole Biscuit Barrel, Silly Party, and Kevin Phillips Bong, who is running on the slightly silly ticket. And here's the result.
Alan Jones.
Sensible.
9,112. Kevin Phillips Bong.
Slightly silly.
Naught. Tarquin Fintin Limbin Wimbim Limbim Bus Stop for Tang Olay Biscuit Barrel.
Silly.
12,441.
Well, there you have it, the first result of the election there as the silly party take Luton Norman.
Well, this is a very significant result. Luton, normally a very sensible constituency with a high proportion of people who aren't a bit silly, has gone completely gaga.
And we just heard that James Gilbert has with him the winning silly candidate at Luton.
Tarquin, are you pleased with this result?
Oh, yes, me old beauty, I should say so.
Do we have the swing at Luton?
No.
Right, well, I can't add anything to that, Colin.
Can I just say that this is the second time I've been on television?
No, I'm sorry, there isn't time. We're just about to get another result.
And this one is from Harpenden South East. A very interesting constituency, this. In addition to the official silly candidate, there is an unofficial very silly candidate in the slab of concrete. And he could well split the silly vote here at Harpenden South East.
Mrs. Elsie Zip.
Silly.
26,317. Gillette Walker.
Sensible.
26,318.
That is very close.
Malcolm Peter Brown Telescope, Adrian Blackpool Rock Stoat Gobbler, John Raw Vegetable, Norman Michael, Edward Jupiter, 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 Jupiter. Thomas Moo will give a welcome in the... William, raindrops keep falling on my... Don't sleep in the subway. No! Smith?
Very silly.
Two.
Well, there you have it. A sensible gain there at Harpenden with the silly vote being split.
And we've just heard from Luton that Tony Stratton Smith has with him there the unsuccessful, slightly silly candidate, Kevin Phillips Bong.
Kevin Phillips Bong. You poll no votes at all. Not a sausage. Bugger all. Are you at all disappointed with this performance?
Not at all. As I always say, climb every mountain, ford every stream, follow every byway, till you find your dream. A dream that will last, all the love you can give, every day of your life, for as long as you live.
All together!
Climb.
Norman!
And,
Shut up!
Can I just say I've just heard from Luton that my aunt is ill. Possibly gastroenteritis, possibly just catarrh. Gerald.
Right, Colin?
Can I just say he'll never appear on television again?
No, I'm sorry, there isn't time, because we have to bring up another few results you may have missed. A little pink pussycat has taken Barrow in Furness. That's a gain from the Liberals there. Rastus Odinga Oginga has taken Wolverhampton South West. That's Enoch Powell's old constituency. An important gain there for Darkie Power. Arthur Negus has held Bristol. That's not a result, that's just a bit of gossip. Sir Alec Douglas Hume has taken Oldham for the Stone Dead Party. And a small piece of putty about that big, a cheese mechanic from Dunbar, and two frogs, one called Kipper and the other one not, have all gone in Blackpool Central, and so it's beginning to look like a silly landslide when the prospect of 5 more years of silly government facing us. We... Oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm bored.
He's right, you know. It is a bloody waste of time.
Absolute waste of time.
Well, there you go. That sort of dribbles off there. That was Monty Python with Neil Innes in there, by the way, with their election special routine from the CD of the Final Ripoff album. And let's press on now with some more current stuff featuring Will Durst from the Strange Bedfellows record.
So I'm going to miss Reagan, man. I am, but I'm a comedian. Reagan has done for political humorists what the microwave did for appliance stores. Dukakis Bush. Oh, break out the notos. I mean, I always heard that the meek were going to inherit the earth, but this soon? Everything you wanted in a Reagan administration and less. George Bush, Reagan light. Pushing Bush is Reagan without the charm. That's gonna be a tough sell, man. That's like calling the desert just like the beach without the water. All it's missing is the moisture. And who could he possibly pick as his VP to make him look presidential? Wally Cox is dead, man. Pee-wee Herman is a fictional character. You watch, he'll end up with Gene Kirkpatrick because the GOP figures there has to be at least one set of balls on the ticket. Did you read this the other day? Bush was courting the black vote. With what? Waddy Melon? He is the ultimate honky, man. If he were any whiter, he'd be translucent. I don't think Reagan is his role model. I think it's Thurston P. Howell III. He might be the first guy to start his inaugural address with the word lovey. To him, the needy are corporate execs without summer homes in the Hamptons. The homeless, darling. And what was his Iran-Contra stance? He was a supportive team player who was in on everything, except when they decided stuff. Reagan's point man on Iran-Contra. Reagan's point man on the war on drugs. And he doesn't know when he knew that Noriega was dealing. The point is moot. Either he knew and he's a doofus, or he didn't know and he's a doofus. Either way, we don't need another Oval Office doofus. Now, let me get this straight. We sold arms to Iran and then gave military intelligence to both Iran and Iraq. Now, how did this work? Here, put this gun in your pocket. He's got a gun in his pocket. He knows about the gun, man. And isn't it ironic that Reagan's instituted a policy of zero tolerance after we put up with his bull for 7 years? To show you how much our administration knows about drugs, McFarland tried to OD on Valium. The yellow ones, the fives. You might as well try to OD in St. Joseph's Children Aspirin. No, you just gotta take enough, that's all. Oh, and then all roads led to Casey. Oh, what a surprise. He did it. No, the dead guy did it, yeah. The only one come out of this smell like a rose was Nancy Reagan. She got Donald Reagan's head on a plate. Like Salome was biblical. Nancy, the enforcer. Nanbo. She got Ron to take a drug test. Dig that image. Old Uncle Ron with his withered, palsied, arthritic grip trying to pee-pee straight into a test tube. Here, George, hold this.
Which one, Mr. President?
Dukakis came out anti-drugs. Oh, way to go, Mikey. Climbing out on that political limb, huh? Can't wait for your next position paper. Cancer is bad. AIDS hurts. I'm not saying Dukakis is boring, but whoever thought we would finally reminisce about the charismatic Mondale campaign? Oh, that firebrand Fritz. Remember he said he was going to raise taxes? I almost wept. It's ironic him going out anti-drugs because his wife, Kitty, was hooked on speed for 20 years. He never knew.
How do you not know your wife's hooked on speed for 20 years?
Gosh, she's got so much pep in the morning. Look, it's not even 8 a.m. She's vacuuming the rain gutters. I guess those Flintstone vitamins really work. Tipper Gore, she's the woman behind the Parents Music Resource Center, the Washington-based Stepford Wives group. These people are worried about backward masking on record albums.
Yeah, not enough things in the world to worry about.
We gotta have a task force dedicated to eradicating dyslexic Satanists. I worship Lucifer. Beelzebub's 999. Mario Cuomo, the new hope of the Democratic Party? I think not. To the heartland of America, Mario is not the name of the chief executive. Mario's the guy who runs the Tilt-A-Whirl at the carnival. Four teeth and two tattoos. Then Ed Koch said any Jew who voted for Jackson was crazy. Oh, there you go. Being called crazy by Ed Koch. It's like being called ugly by a Tasmanian puss toad. Poor Jesse, man. All the yuppies have deserted him. I'd vote for him if he weren't a minister. I like Jesse, I do, but he's never held elective office before. And I'm not sure the presidency should be an entry-level position. Again. Yeah, the rap against Jesse is all style and no substance. Yeah, doesn't that sound like 8 years of familiar? Jesse, how do you feel about crime? I'm against it. Well, great. Certainly a 180-degree swing from the present administration's policies. Reagan's cabinet is so corrupt, the only way he's going to be able to remember them is if Nancy puts together a scrapbook of their mugshots. He's going to have to clear the reunion tour through a parole board. Oh, God, I wonder what Ed's doing these days.
7 to 10.
Ed Meese, this poison mollusk. You know, they test marketed a postage stamp with his face on it, but they found that people took the spitting on the wrong side. Besides, certain religions can't lick pork. I'm gonna miss Reagan. Most presidents are figureheads. Reagan's a hood ornament. He vetoed the Clean Water Bill. What was going through his tiny little mind? Clean water, huh? I don't know. Ron, it's clean water. I don't know. How about non-poisonous air? I'm not sure yet. Oh, Nancy sacrificed a goat and paw through the entrails. Summit? No summit. Summit? No summit. Reagan, no matter what you think of his policies, you gotta admire his ability not to get involved in them. On his 76th birthday, he actually said, well, that's only 24 in dog years. He said that. Out loud. Not only is it wrong. I mean, I'm no rocket scientist, but the last time I looked, 7 and not going to 76, 24 times. But then dig the image. I mean, every 24-year-old dog I've ever seen has been blind and drooling and lame. There's a term, put the sleep, have any meaning here. They don't make cycle 6. I'm not afraid he's gonna push the button. I'm worried he's gonna nod out and fall on it. You guys have been great. I've been Durst. Thanks a lot.
When was this record made, Will?
July 11th.
So that's pre-conventions, huh?
Both of them, yeah.
So what has struck your fancy since the conventions? That was obviously no one knew of Dan Quayle back then.
It was funny because I was at the convention, and when they announced Dan Quayle, right across from the Superdome, they had a B. Dalton bookstore, and in the front display lobby of the B. Dalton, they had the Almanac of American Politics. And you could see all the reporters rush, pick up the display copies, and surreptitiously turn to Indiana to find out who the hell this little dweeb was. Nobody knew what the J&J Danforth was. For a day, I asked everybody, New York Times, because I was with the Hearst people, and we were right next to New York Times. Nobody knew what the J was, and it was James.
Oh, James.
What kind of dweeb whose first name is James calls himself Dan? That's what. I mean, he's so plastic.
Well, let's hope that's the worst of his sins.
Oh, and he'd say a little prayer if he became president. Yeah, him and 245 million other Americans.
Right.
I'm not sure the planet could survive the seismic shock of all those knees hitting the ground at the same time. I bet even the Soviets would find God. President Quayle, Misha, find out where Lenin stashed those rosary beads. So he's good for comedy. Benson is barely alive, you know. I'm not sure anyone's done the breath mirror fog test on him. And what if the Democrats actually won and Benson had to go to state funerals, man? It's not nice to confuse foreign coroners, you know. I don't know, which one do we inter? Well, traditionally it's a horizontal one, isn't it?
So since that was before the conventions, but we all knew that it was going to be Dukakis and Bush.
Yeah.
Have you been surprised by the way the campaign has been waged?
I've been very surprised at the ineptness of the Democrats and the viciousness of the Republicans. And then the other day, Bush, he accused Dukakis of waging a dirty campaign. Did you hear this?
Mm-hmm.
This is like the tar pits calling a vinyl banquette sticky. What was going on? I can't believe it. Bush wants to be known as the education president.
And the environmental president.
Yeah, any therapist would recognize this kind of talk as a cry for help. How many programs has he cut? I suppose James Watt was Smokey the Bear.
What will you be doing on election night?
I'm going to be in Boston, and I got a gig. Got two gigs, actually. My regular gig is at Catch a Rising Star, which is right in Harvard Square in Cambridge. And I think I'm going to be doing a short piece for the Kennedy School of Government. I don't know what they want out of me yet.
Now,
probably blood.
Now, you are primarily a political satirist, a political humorist.
I do topical stuff, Robert. And right now, the election is topical stuff.
Right.
I mean, I do political stuff, but next year, that's going to be yesterday's head cheese after the inauguration.
Have you found that the election has boosted your business? Are there more people that want to come out and hear topical stuff now?
There's more people who know the buzzwords because it's hard to get away from them. They're constantly being bombarded by, America is information junkies, and this is what's happening. So they know what you're talking about for the most part, whereas it used to be that you had to really wait until it got to the cover of Time or Newsweek magazine.
Right. Oh, let's see. What else? What else is going on?
The debates were fun. Didn't you think the debates were fun? Dukakis has the personality of a human speed bump. He had that, I'm so bored, it's enough to keep my right eye open look. And then Bernard Shaw decked him with that sucker punch.
Right at the top. Too.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder how many soiled 50s, Atwater slipped Bernie because if Dukakis had gone, hey, out of bounds question, jerk, get out of my face, I think it might have turned it around. But he went into some weird, disjointed rap about drug education.
Well, I like what Mark Russell said about that, and that his answer to that should have been, well, I would favor the death penalty to any journalist who asks a question like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, that was a bad question. I like Russell. And what is this Bush 1,000 points of light? Has anybody ever see? I thought it was some sort of bad poetry, from
it
way
is.
Back, like Kelly or Sheets or something. 1,000 points of light, George. You go out at night, you look up at the dark sky. It's full of a billion points of light. They're called stars. But, George, it's still freaking dark out. You got to use your headlights to drive home. Oh, he's a twit. They're both. They're upper-class twits.
Are there any politicians or even political races that you wish you had been around to cover that are from the past?
Oh. Well, hell, I bet you Kennedy Nixon would have been fun. McGovern Nixon, it was like Mondale Reagan. Carter Four, if I'd been alive, I mean, I was alive, but I wasn't doing stand-up. Well, I was, actually, for a couple years. I probably had a couple lines on Carter Four. I don't know. God, I bet you, what was that last one? The Dewey Truman thing must have been a hell of a lot of fun. I wonder, they're trying to point up right now the similarities between the two races. I wonder if there's a possibility, just even the tiniest, eekiest possibility that Dukakis could carry a couple of states.
Well, something I was wondering about, this record, the Strange Bedfellows record,
yeah.
is a nice collection of political humor, but I noticed that everyone is pretty much left-leaning. And was an effort made to try to find a conservative comedian, or don't they exist?
No, there's a couple. One of them is Mort Saul, and the other one is P.J. O'Rourke, but he's mostly a writer.
Right.
I don't think he does stand-up. I don't view myself as left-leaning. The problem is the Republicans have been in office for 8 years, so they have a lot of baggage to hang our tags on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we had found political comedy in 1968 after two terms of Democrats, that you would have found most of the comedy would have been of a conservative nature. You just end up taking out the policies that are being done.
Yeah.
And right now it's Reagan.
Yeah. Well, Reagan's such an easy target.
Yeah, we are going to miss him.
Yeah.
No, we are.
Well, you may not. I mean, I have a feeling he'll stay visible in one way or another, whether he's calling ball games on WGN or God knows what. I think we'll be seeing Ray.
Yeah, he's going to make Harry Carey sound lucid.
I understand you're not a total stranger to the political process, that you once actually ran for mayor of San Francisco. Is this
yes,
true?
I did, and I came in fifth out of 11. And I received a little over 1% of the vote. And I spent $1,200, and I came within 39 votes of beating on a guy who spent $250,000 of his own money.
Are you finished with that? Or
yes. Yes. No more. No more.
What was that like?
Well, you know, I started out, and it was just a pimp on the process of being elected, how people will say one thing. And I tried doing that. Like, I had a huge picture of the back of my head, and I was just making fun of the process, kind of a spoof. And then I went to all these candidate forums, and the people were really disgusted with my attempt at humor on pimping the process. So I tried to get serious, and it was a real mess. I'm glad it was so hard to get over.
What year was this?
That was last year. That was 87.
What would you have done if you'd actually gotten elected?
Oh, pishaw. Pishaw and poppycock, Robert. That's like saying, what would you do if we had to learn how to live without gravity? I mean, you could say anything, but it's such a hypothetical question.
Well, stranger things have happened. I mean, you know, the country elected Ronald Reagan president a second time after 4 years of it by an overwhelming majority. Now, I don't think you getting elected mayor in San Francisco is much more far-fetched than that. You know?
Good point. But I really, it didn't cross my mind. I guess I would have put good people in around me and tried to get something done.
You know, you should have, you say a little prayer is the first thing that you do.
That's right. I would say a little prayer for the city of San Francisco and the whole West Coast.
Well, Will, it was nice talking to you. Any other last things you want to add? This show will air the Friday before Election Day, so it's your last chance.
Well, don't vote. Don't worry about it. I mean,
who is it that said that don't vote, it only encourages them?
Yeah, it only encourages them, and what difference does it make? We all know that we don't have any power. It's big corporations run anything. The only people they listen to are the political action special interest committees. Don't vote. Stay home. Lots of people haven't voted throughout history. The Germans in the 30s didn't vote like crazy. Blacks in South Africa can't vote, and be honest, aren't they better off for it? Don't vote. Why bother? Stay home. Suck sand.
Thank you, Will Durst.
Thanks, boss.
And there you go. That was obviously enough. Will Durst, political satirist, a very funny guy who can be seen on CBS Newswatch, something or other, some CBS morning show this Sunday morning. Maybe it's the Charles Carroll thing. I'm really not sure, but it will be. Say, watch CBS from Saturday night straight through till Sunday afternoon, and you will see Will Durst. And it will be worth it, because he's a very funny guy. And we heard from his record, Strange Bedfellows, which also has some other very funny guys, Barry Crimmins, Jimmy Tingle, and Randy Credico on it. I believe in encouraging this. It's a new record label devoted to comedy called Blue Rose. We'll be hearing from their Women of the Night record next month. And, of course, we started out with the Monty Python election special. And that pretty much covers the show. It covers the election. Oh, God, it's depressing. Next week's program will not be depressing. It will be all about the telephone. Alexander Graham Bell or Don Ameche's greatest invention. We'll hear stuff by Lily Tomlin and Bob Newhart and all the people that did routines about telephones. So there you go. That's going to do it. So until next week, this is your host, Bob Claster. Thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you're going to get in that voting booth and you're really going to need it. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye. Do you have no television appearances to plug or anything?
CBS Nightwatch.
Do you have a date on that?
Sunday morning.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Will.
Thanks, guy.
Bye-bye.